We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Maybe they're not good. Maybe he's just an okay coach.
That's the thing. I think he's a really good play caller who's afraid to call aggressive plays because he's afraid to trust his quarterback.
I think he's also afraid to trust the rest of his team. That it's an offensive line that knows how to block for the run. I mean, that's their strength. The wide receiver, they've had sort of one. And I mean, I think in some ways, you know, this will be a year in which people will look at Brandon Ayuk and say, "So why weren't you ready?" Because I'm ready. It took them 6 weeks for him to have faith in him again, and they had faith in him all year last year. So I think the thing that changed there probably had more to do with him than them. That said, I think Kyle Shanahan saw that this was a team that whose offense could only go so far, which is why he drafted a quarterback that is so far outside what he's done with San Francisco. And then he's found out he's not nearly ready for this. And so it ends up being a short-term mistake.
I mean, I wonder if when Trey Lance is ready, if Kyle's going to be ready to, like, let it loose.
He might. I mean, it's clear by the fact that he took him that he would like to do that. But it is also clear that the fact that he never gets on the field means he's not ready to do the things that Kyle either envisions him doing or that they're getting now. At some point you have to apply logic.
Yeah.
And if a guy's not playing, what's the reason? Is it because Kyle Shanahan hates the guy he drafted? No, it's that he's not ready to do this.
But and so that if he's not ready to do all of it, I get it. I get it. If he's not ready to do all of it, I'm not asking him to start games. But on the flight back from that Ohio State pro day where, you know, he crossed Justin Fields off that mental list of his and said, it's going to be Trey Lance, and he's starting to draw plays for Trey Lance. Where are any of those plays? Like, Trey Lance doesn't need to know the entire depth and breadth of the playbook to go out there and give the Niners a little something. A little something. Like, have, you know, a second and five play ready to go. This is our second and five play. Trey's repped it a billion times in practice. He'll get it right. I don't get it. I mean, it's like Kyle is such a, he's, I don't know. I mean, I just, I don't understand. Kyle is stuck between stubbornness and micromanaging and worrying about things not all going well. That he's so afraid, like he fears doing a little something different. And that makes them predictable.
It does make them predictable, but I don't think he's afraid of it. I think he would like to do more of it, but he picked a guy he can't trust yet. I think that's what this boils down to more than anything else. He can't trust Trey Lance yet. And at some point he will, or it will be a disastrous pick, one or the other. And then he'll have to pick somebody else. Because there's always a draft and there's always quarterbacks. But
I mean, do you think that like Bill Belichick trusts Mac Jones implicitly, like the exact same way he trusted Tom Brady? There's got to be an element of I'm willing to roll the dice on the guy that I rolled the dice on.
Well, it's not like Belichick had a choice either. You know, this is who we got. We looked at Jacoby Brissett. We looked at Cam Newton. They weren't nearly good enough. I'm gonna I'm this is my option. And also, Bill Belichick is a much better coach than Kyle Shanahan because he's a much better coach than everybody.
He is.
And so, you know, I think he has designed an offense that still doesn't have amazing talent around him, but he's delivered a safe offense and a very good defense that, you know, has the advantage of playing in a division where there's only one other team. You know, it used to be that they had no other teams. But I think, you know, that's why Belichick is better than everybody else, because he can take his talent and design something that he saw 50 years ago in some grainy NFL highlight film and say, that's what that guy can do. I'm going to put him in situations where he can do it.
And you know what he also does, though? Each game plan is a snowflake. It's individual. Yeah. And it feels like the Niners have one speed, one plan, and when that plan doesn't work, plan B is relatively unavailable. Now, tonight, by the way, Monday Night Football should be very, very interesting. We got Bills in Buffalo against the Patriots. And
you know, it's snowing like crazy.
By the way, so you know, like sometimes you see the flags at the top of the stadium and they're like straight up waving. They look like a flag that's been hung on a wall, perfectly rectangle. Like that's how stiff the wind is blowing. And forget about the flags on top of the uprights. The uprights are blowing, like the actual field goal. It looks like you're watching an earthquake movie, and this is a suspension bridge rattling in the earthquake. I mean, the conditions in Buffalo tonight are brutal.
So we'll see. Outstanding.
Yeah, we'll see what this one looks like. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's try to squeeze in a few quick calls before Peter King joins Ray and I to go over what the hell that was. This is Steve in Albany. You're on 95.7 The Game. Steve, what do you got? Hello,
guys,
Steve.
Great show. Quick comment about special teams. The gut punch I really felt was the missed extra point followed immediately by a kickoff that was like 20 yards short of the goal line, which gave Seattle great momentum. So instead of being celebratory after having a touchdown, we wind up having back-to-back punches in the stomach with the extra point and the short kickoff return.
Yeah, it's a special teams game-wide, all elements of special teams colossal failure. I don't know how Richard Hightower is still in the building. I guess like he and Kyle Shanahan are friends. That's super. I'd rather have a special teams coach that knew what he was doing that he hated than a friend in the building who coaches special teams like this. It's a disaster. 888-957-9570. CJ, Palo Alto. Hello, CJ.
Hey, guys. You know, you talk all you want about special teams, about the fake punt, about the bottom line is this team, as you pointed out time and time again, is very mediocre. They've had mediocre coaching. They've had mediocre drafting. They've got mediocre talent. They've got a couple of really great guys on offense, great playmakers, and a great defensive roster, and that's it, guys. And so this team from the start was never going to be much better than 8-9, 9-8. So all this, I mean, people get all unraveled on, you know, about why they didn't do this and that. This team doesn't have the talent to perform at the highest level, and the reason is they don't have a great quarterback. And to win in this league, you've got to have a great quarterback. You can have a great quarterback and not win, but you can't win and not have a great quarterback.
Well, you just can't have a quarterback who is nothing but mountaintops and valleys. You know, you got to have a little steady. And it feels like there is, you know, you get good Jimmy or evil Jimmy. And there's very little in between. And that's why this team runs so hot and cold, week after week after week. Again, you get the best of Jimmy if the running game is popping and you can hide Jimmy Garoppolo in plain sight and ask him to do the least amount of risking with, you know, a ball at all. And that's where this team is at its best. Most teams are at their best when they don't have to risk anything all day long. That's a game that's built to win. When things aren't going the 49ers' way, when they need to scramble to get back into a game, that's when they get in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, they're like most other teams. It's they're great front runners. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens, who everybody loves, you know, or at least loved until yesterday, they're a classic front-running team. Most teams are front-running teams. Very few teams survive being able to come from behind all the time. And most teams that have to come from behind all the time end up being the Chargers. And nobody loves them either. You know, the point is, at some point, you have to believe in the things you do. And very few offenses are designed to do both things superbly well all the time. I mean, the 49ers have chosen to be a ball control team. They've chosen to be a team that doesn't want to take a lot of chances. And, yeah, I think they've probably reached the end of the road with that. But they're going to have to ride this out the rest of the way for this year, because this is who they are.
Yep.
And this is what their talent says they are. And maybe it's different if Samuel were there yesterday. And then all of a sudden, now they're 7-5 and people, you know, are dancing on the four-game winning streak and, you know, singing, you know, Merrily We Go Along. But, you know, they have a thin margin for error, like every other team in the group of suck. It's just who they are and how they are.
Our friend Peter King joins us next, talking about the Niners in Seattle. We'll dip around the rest of the league with him as well, so stay tuned. Much more coming up after an incredibly frustrating loss up in Seattle for the 49ers. Damon and Ray here on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you by the Lazy Dog Restaurant.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Damon and Ratto. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
So Ray and I are going to turn our attention to the Golden State Warriors at 5:30 with Warriors Live coming up tonight, brought to you by the Xfinity Sports Zone. But right now, we're very happy to say hello to Peter King. Normally, we say hello to the Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, on a Monday. Michael is flying, and so normally we say hello to Peter King on a Tuesday, knowing that we had a whole Peter King like a linebacker, fills the hole. Thank you, Peter, for joining us a day early. We certainly appreciate you making us look good. How are you?
Everything's going okay, guys. How about you?
We're good. Things are good. Ray is happy because today has been a Monday of misery for 49er fans. And look, that was a game where the 49ers got shut out in the second half when it looked like Seattle was ready to roll over and die in that first half. And, you know, three turnovers, 2.8 yards per carry from a rushing attack, which if it's not popping, the Niners' chances of doing anything start to diminish, you know, quickly, because they don't want to put the ball in the air. Kittle was spectacular. That's pretty much the end of the spectacular.
I think it's one of the best games, maybe the best game of Kittle's life. I mean,
I'm
sure will think of others, and he's had so many good ones, but that play down the sidelines is really one of the great individual plays of the NFL season by any player. And you know what? I really, really agree. You know, I didn't see, I had a bunch of things yesterday. I didn't see a lot of this game for various reasons. I was focused a lot more on, on Steelers-Ravens. But what I found interesting when I went back and watched the little 14-minute YouTube package of all the plays in the game is that, you know, they started off on a terrible note, okay? And the terrible note was the Travis Homer touchdown run, which was really, that kind of thing is just an embarrassment for your special teams. And the only reason in this particular case that I think it's particularly embarrassing for the special teams is that if you had watched the Seattle Seahawks play football in the last month, you would know that they stink. Self-scouting, they have to say, hey, we stink. We have to use every trick in the toolbox. So every special teams meeting in Santa Clara last week should have begun with, the Seahawks know they stink, and they're going to try to do multiple things on special teams to screw us up. And, you know, it started right away. You know, it started 2 minutes into the game. So, again, I'm not picking on special teams particularly, but that's an area that, and again, it's easy to look back in retrospect and say, oh, that just can't happen. Well, no crap, Sherlock. Of course it can't happen. But the reason why it happens is that the preparation was lacking. And that is the thing, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm really ticked off about.
First of all, congratulations for being the first person to use no crap, Sherlock, and blowing the whole alliteration.
Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome. Secondly, how much of that lack of preparation is really more reacting poorly to an unusual play? Because as Damon pointed out earlier, you almost never see a fake punt where the snap just goes to the up back. And it almost looked like the 49ers were so befuddled by it, but then decided, you know what? It's such a good play. Let's not ruin it by pursuing Travis Homer.
Look, there is a way to play punt team football, okay, if you're the defense. If you think that something might be up, okay, first of all, you're not going to have on a punt block. You're not going to have on the rush for the punt block, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is you got to play. I remember I covered the Giants in the 80s, and they had a special teams coach named Mike Swetman, and his whole theory was at times, and I forget the terminology he used, but if you think something funny might go on, you basically have to play an umbrella defense on that punt team, which means, look, you know, block them at the line of scrimmage, be ready for anything. Maybe it's going to be a punt, or maybe it's going to be a punt. Maybe it's going to be a pass to one of the gunners. Maybe it'll be a pass to the up back like Travis Homer. Just, you know, don't commit yourself at the snap of the ball, period. And so that, to me, that's how I would have played this game yesterday if I were San Francisco. And again, I realize it's easy to say that in retrospect. But going into this game, you had to know that Seattle was thinking, essentially, we have to do everything in our power, you know, to try to stave off the weirdness that they might call on in this game.
Peter, they've got an offense that, if it has to do anything other than run the ball, they seem to be uncomfortable with that. They have a defense that has allowed 278 points so far this year. That's the most in the NFC West. Only bad NFC, Washington, Philly, the Vikings, the Bears, the Lions, and the Falcons have given up more points, and no one would take them seriously as a playoff team. Yet here are the 49ers, even with that loss, still looking at the caboose of playoff participation. Even expect this team to do in a playoff game?
I don't know. There's 5 weeks to go. So I can't tell you. I don't think anybody can tell you because, look, Neil Hornsby founded this company called Pro Football Focus, PFF. You guys might have heard of it. Sold the majority of it, 6 or 8 years ago to Chris Collinsworth. But he still is basically the grand poobah and the founder of Pro Football Focus. All right, they analyze the game from every player on every play. And I was texting with him, last night maybe. Last night. And he said, basically, what are you writing about? And I said, some weirdness. And he goes, this is the weirdest year in the NFL I've ever seen. But the only reason I bring that up is that right now, as we sit here, and this is crazy, I actually may cover this game this weekend. I may cover San Francisco at Cincinnati. I don't go to a lot of games, but I've got to be at the Hall of Fame on Friday in Canton for a couple of things. And I'm actually thinking of driving down, covering the game in Cincinnati, because to me, San Francisco at Cincinnati is the perfect allegory for what 2021 is. Okay? So, and why do I say that? I say that because here come the 49ers coming off a tremendous rally in the last 3 weeks. Beat the Rams, beat Jacksonville, beat Minnesota. And you figure, okay, they're going to a down team in Seattle. They'll win. And they lay an egg and they lose the game. And now you've got Cincinnati win at Vegas, beat Pittsburgh. They sweep Pittsburgh for the first time since mastodons roam the earth. And so you figure, okay, they got the Chargers coming in, tough game, like their chances, and they get not obliterated, but they get beat, significantly. So last night, it's like 2:00 in the morning. And I'm progressing on my column, but I looked at the playoff standings and I said, well, holy crap. Seventh seed in the NFC right now, San Francisco. Seventh seed in the AFC right now, Cincinnati. 1-7-5, 1-6-6. And they have a vital game. Two teams with a combined 13-11 record in December. Okay, neither of whom is in first place in their division. In a lot of ways, in weird ways, to me it's the game of the week in the NFL because it is the game that says everything about 2021 in the NFL.
A lot of reasons have been given for why this is such a bizarre year and why there are 5 good teams, 8 terrible teams, and then a boatload of mediocrity. But would you not have thought that by now some of this would have self-corrected and that you'd have seen more teams sort of emerge from this? Well, we're calling it the group of suck. But, I mean, just, under normal circumstances, wouldn't you have 6 teams you could trust in each conference? Because it looks like you've got about 3 in the AFC and 3 in the NFC. 3 in the AFC, 3 in the NFC.
I mean, if you consider New England, Kansas City, Buffalo right now, teams you can trust in the AFC, and Arizona, Green Bay, Tampa Bay in the NFC, I would agree with you. But, you know, wait till next week. Wait for 2 weeks. I would have said if the Bengals handled their business and if the 49ers handled theirs, I would have said, well, maybe you can trust those teams. And to me, I think it is simply a matter of the kind of year where there is, in many ways, a huge course correction. And so you say, what do you mean a course correction? And I say that we know that teams quarterbacked by Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, we know those teams are going to be pretty reliable. It would be shocking if they weren't. And they have been, for the most part, pretty reliable. But when I talk about course corrections, I talk about a front office in Arizona went out and made a bunch of decisions this offseason. And really going back to the huge decisions of after 1 year jettisoning a 1 year head coach, Steve Wilks, and a 1 year 10th player picked in the draft, you know, when they traded Josh Rosen after 1 year. Here's the point I would make about this. See, I think every football season is a snowflake, just like I think every game plan that the New England Patriots have is a snowflake. And I mean that they're all different. This is so interesting and, in my opinion, so much fun this year because you look at the AFC right now and the number 13 seed today at this moment is Miami. They've got 6 wins. The 5 seed is Buffalo, and Buffalo has 7. And it's just, and so I think, you know, I forget who one time said embrace the suck. I think we ought to embrace the mediocrity because isn't what is fun about sports waking up on a Sunday morning and having no idea who's going to win the game? Obviously, if you're a 49er fan, you want the 49ers to win the game. But, you know, just for the sport itself, I just think it's tremendous fun having absolutely no idea who's going to win these games.
So last week, Peter, you told Colin Cowherd that you didn't expect the Niners to trade Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason. Is that an endorsement Jimmy, or is that a critique of Trey Lance being the guy?
No. If the 49ers, and I forget how I termed it, but if I didn't say this, I should have. If things continue on the current path, okay? And if they do continue on the current path, with yesterday being an exception and not the rule, like, let's just say for the sake of argument, if Garoppolo plays over the next 5 weeks quality to very good football, and the 49ers go 3-2, and they make the playoffs, and Garoppolo plays well, and he goes out, and however they do in the playoffs, he plays pretty well. Then you ask yourself this question, and this is my point about the 49ers, okay? And it is, when have they gotten in the most trouble? I'll tell you when. When they have stripped the roster down to the studs, and when they have had one winning quarterback, I didn't say great quarterback, but a quarterback you can win with on the roster. So let's just say for the sake of argument that the Philadelphia Eagles offer San Francisco the 16th pick in the draft this coming year for Jimmy Garoppolo. Or let's say somebody offers them that, okay?
That other GM should be fired. Are you kidding?
Well, but hang on a minute. The reason why, if I were the 49ers, I absolutely wouldn't automatically take the trade is that then you'd be putting yourself in the exact same position you were in the 3 of the first 4 years that the 49ers failed miserably under Shanahan Lynch, and that is bear at quarterback. I am one of those guys who feels like I would rather have a quarterback controversy than only have one quarterback. Like, I was openly a huge fan of the Eagles taking Jalen Hurts in the second round in 2020, even though it was clear that Carson Wentz had a mad on about that right from the beginning. And you know what? I don't care, Carson Wentz. You know, if you were durable, then we wouldn't have done this. You're not durable. Just shut up and play football and all that. And I don't mean to be stark about this, but it really ticks me off when people, in my opinion, don't realize the value of the second quarterback on the team. The second quarterback on the team is one of the most 10 to 12 most valuable players on your team. Why don't you ask the Arizona Cardinals, who would you have rather had at the start of the year, Colt McCoy or pick a schmo, Josh Rosen, Mike Glennon, whoever? Colt McCoy won two huge road games in the division at San Francisco and Seattle, and he wasn't just a caretaker. In those two games, he completed 81% of his throws.
Right, but Peter, so, you know, at no point in time did the Arizona Cardinals have to give up three first-round picks to obtain Colt McCoy. That's what makes Trey Lance so different.
But, okay, so here's my question. Here's my question. Colt McCoy right now is your backup quarterback, okay? And I understand that. You know, yes, did they overpay for that pick? History may well say with an exclamation point, yes. The only point I'm making is, right now, at this moment in time, would you take the 16th pick in the draft and let's say a potential, you know, six-year starter somewhere on your roster? I don't know where, whoever the player would be. Would you take that? Or would you rather have insurance at the most important position on the roster, and insurance at a position that has absolutely screwed you in three of the first 4 years of the Shanahan-Lynch regime?
I would take the draft pick and roll the dice with Trey Lance. I think that if Trey Lance were the quarterback this year, that they could still be 6-6. I don't think that there would be that much different. I see.
But I'm not questioning that. I'm not questioning that. What I'm saying is, what if somebody rolls up on Trey Lance's ankle and he's out for 3 weeks?
All right, well, but that's – so you go out and you get whatever next year's version.
But that's what the 49ers said. That is my whole point. Respect the backup quarterback. Respect the two-quarterback system in today's football. And the 49ers this year are doing that. And I'm not saying Garoppolo's been great because he hasn't. And I'm not even saying that Garoppolo should start – if they keep him on the team opening day next year. Not saying that at all. I'm saying that unless you figure out a better alternative than Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard and put a lot of stock and a lot of emphasis on finding a very good backup quarterback, on going out and trading something significant for, let's say, Gardner Minshew, and we could think of three or four guys, then my point is, you're doing fine the way you are. You're doing fine. And I realize Garoppolo's number is a killer. I get it. But I am not entering next year with Trey Lance and a wing and a prayer as the backup.
Well, I mean, they got a wing and a prayer at corner, and I don't know how they fix that. I mean, so I would draft a cornerback with the 16th overall and say, you better be right about Trey Lance, because that's you. All eggs have been put into that basket. I know we got to get running soon, and I know Ray's got one more for you, Peter. So let's keep it going.
Let's take the long short view here. Of this group, Washington, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans.
Not Carolina and Atlanta and New Orleans out of it.
Okay, fine.
Knock them out.
But let's just say of the four teams that we are allowing, Washington, San Francisco, yeah, Philadelphia, Minnesota, which is the team that you look at and say, they have the best counterpuncher's chance of getting to the second or third weekend of the playoffs?
Oh, fuck. I mean, I thought you were going to say, who's got the best chance to make it? I mean, in an ideal world, I think fairly healthy, You know, of all those teams, to me, I would take San Francisco. But Washington is an interesting and a deceptive team right now. And here's the interesting thing about Washington, okay? Like, their last four games are against teams that, their last five games are all against division teams. Two Dallas and three against Philadelphia and the Giants. So that's a tricky slope. But, you know, the Eagles are basically the same. They're playing all in the division too. I think the thing that I like the most about the 49ers, if, and it's a very big if Elijah Mitchell can be what he was in their winning run, I just think that having the quarterback as the complementary player is the thing that really helps you win. And right now, that's what he is. He should be, Jimmy Garoppolo should be the complementary player, not the guy who you want to throw it 33 times a game.
But when you have to throw it, boy, you need more than a compliment these days, I think. And I just don't know if he's got it. Peter, we got to run.
Let me just one last point. Taylor Heineke, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins. Okay? Like, we're not talking about any players who are going to Canton, Ohio one day. Okay? What we're talking about are guys who are middle-of-the-road NFL quarterbacks. So I understand what you're saying, but the Vikings without Dalvin Cook are wounded. And so, again, I know you got to go, but just keep one thing in mind. Respect the backup quarterback.
Well, we might respect the backup quarterback if Kyle used a weapon on a team that is desperate to get some weapons out on a field because of all the injuries. The wrinkle that Lance was supposed to represent early on can't even be seen
at all. And you know what? I bet he will this weekend. That's my guess. I bet
we'll see
if they struggle this weekend. I bet you see Trey Lance in Cincinnati. It's just a gut feeling. I don't know anything. But
we look forward to
Kyle understands. Just a gut feeling.
We look forward to talking to you next week, Peter. Whether you make it to the Cincinnati game or not, safe trip to Ohio. Have fun in Canton. And thanks to Peter King for joining us here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
All right, well, the MVP of this show, without a doubt, Grandy Maldonado, who had to dump a Peter King F-bomb. Peter King swore. The big one. He went right for the gusto. We befuddled him. We frustrated him. And look, I got to be honest. Peter is aware that this is a cap sport and you can't carry a backup quarterback with a $25.6 million cap hit. I mean, that is untenable. The way you go about drafting a young quarterback to play him is then you get to spend the rest of your money because you're on a rookie quarterback deal. That's the value of taking a player that high in the draft. That's what you're looking for. It's almost unheard of, or what a luxury it is to be able to draft a quarterback that high and then not play him out of necessity. But it's a luxury that can't be afforded next year. You got to turn the page, whether you're ready to turn the page or not. And you know, somebody says they way overpaid for the pick. Here's the thing: they had to overpay to get to the third pick in the draft. What they did with that pick will then determine whether or not, you know, should they have just stayed where they were and let, you know, the Bill Belichick get his pick of the litter, if Kyle Shanahan got spooked that Bill Belichick was going to trade up, so he overpaid to trade up. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what happened.
The price tag is not the issue anyway. What the issue is, the issue is, who did you get and why did you get him? And if Kyle Shanahan was playing the long game, which I think he must have been given who he chose, he expected that this year would go better than it has. But Peter King also raised another interesting point. It's that unless you have an elite quarterback, you have to sort of create an offense that doesn't highlight the quarterback with limitations. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan has tried to do with middling success. You can't make Jimmy Garoppolo a mad bomber because he's not that. He is who he is. He showed you who he is over and over again. And if Kyle Shanahan wanted to make a quarterback move this year, he would have gone to somebody else because Trey Lance didn't have a resume. So I think he had a plan. The plan hasn't gone the way he thought, and now he has to scramble. But that's also true of Mike Zimmer in Minnesota and Ron Rivera in Washington and Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. It's what happens when you're trapped in the group of suck. The things you thought you had on September 1st, very often you don't have on December 10th.
You know, I don't understand this whole, you got to, you know, your backup quarterback is your 12th most important player is something that he also said. Now,
I wasn't sure. I'm not sure I buy that part.
Yeah. Look, here are the amount of backup quarterbacks that ever got thrown into a situation and did something huge with it. Tom Brady, I believe we can agree he is an outlier. Yes?
There are a lot of guys like Brady.
Nick Foles, thrown into a bad situation, got through it, stinks now, doesn't play. Jeff Hostetler. Ray, is that the list in the Super Bowl era? How many times has a team turned itself to a backup quarterback and had a parade at the end of the year situation? It's an infinitesimal play. There's the odds of your backup quarterback actually saving the day are so small that I wouldn't plan on it. I wouldn't bet on it. Here's how the NFL works. If your starting quarterback goes down, you're screwed. That's it. That's how this league works. It's how it's always worked, except in three cases that I can recall without opening, you know, the internet and really taking a look. Kurt Warner. I'll give you that one too. Nice job, 510 area code. Kurt Warner. Again, but Kurt Warner just happened to be a Hall of Fame quarterback in waiting.
He also had a number of years of playing experience somewhere.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it might have been the Iowa Barnstormers, but it was still steady work.
Right.
And I would throw in a half one, too, which is Trent Dilfer, when he took over for Tony Banks and, you know, watched as the Baltimore Ravens that he quarterbacked went to the Super Bowl and won it. So four and a half.
It's still not an awful lot. Somebody says Steve Young. No.
Again, same thing. A guy who had plenty of playing experience before and watched for a while.
Kaepernick? All right, you know, maybe, but, well, there's a lot of reasons why he's not playing. So, yeah. But if you are 100% dependent on, we have to have two great quarterbacks at all time to find our way through this season, you're not going to get through a season again. And you know, the whole Colt McCoy point is, to me, what you're looking for. Like, the right guy to put behind Garoppolo this year, if you thought Garoppolo was the only answer, would have been a Colt McCoy level of backup quarterback. You know, in that case, you could have kept a C.J. Beathard who, you know, through two games is enough to get you one out of two wins, or, you know, he plays 3 weeks with a little luck, you win two out of three. But you're doing that because you have absolutely taken that 16th mythical pick that Peter just threw out there and used that on a player that actually clicked. You know, with a 16th pick in the draft, this team would probably take a Javon Kinlaw again. And what do you know? DJ Jones is twice as good as that guy will ever be right now, and he was just undrafted. You know, this team is desperate for another cornerback. Like Josh Norman, wait until you see what Ja'Marr Chase does to Josh Norman this weekend. Oh, yeah, T. Higgins. Like, Josh Norman has to lead the NFL in celebrating pass breakups that he had nothing to do with. It was an overthrow or underthrow or ball thrown out of bounds. And that guy's flexing at a camera.
I think what this boils down to is that Kyle Shanahan drafted who he drafted, thinking he would be further along and could be used, and has found out that a thin resume can't be recreated. You know, nobody has ever come into the league with so few games under his belt and suddenly become an important member of a team. And I think he is surprised by that. And if he had to do it over again, he probably would go in another direction if he's only concerned about 2021. The problem is it's December now, and that's all you can be concerned with. You can't worry about how your draft class did now. This is about getting into January. And nothing else matters. What happened in last April is irrelevant. It will become relevant again in February and March and April when you start planning for your new year. But for right now, the only job is, what's my best chance to win? And for the 49ers, their best chance to win is figure out playing games in which they have the ball for 35 minutes a game and can run 40 times. That's who they are. That's what they're built to be. And I think this is a year that didn't go according to plan. And yeah, they're not prepared for it. But they also thought that part of the plan was they could trust their defense more than they can. I mean, everybody wants to make this one more referendum on the quarterback, but Russell Wilson was 30 for 37. You know, and his way.
That was a game where Russell Wilson's finger didn't get in the way of him being that accurate. I mean, there were a few Russell normally hits that but didn't. But yeah, he was still as good as he needed to be. 30 for 37. He actually should have been, Ray, 32 for 37. But the second best tight end that the 49ers played yesterday was the Seahawks tight end. I mean, Gerald Everett might as well have been playing for the Niners yesterday. He was so bad.
Yeah, he was an oven mitt. But, you know, what it also shows is that Seattle, you know, cost itself an entire season because they were hurrying Russell Wilson back, even though he wasn't healthy. You know, there was no reason for him to say, I can be back in 4 weeks because I have magical powers in my hand. No, you don't. The human body doesn't work that way. You came back 3 weeks too early. You lost two of those games. Now you've got 8 losses. You have to run the table to even have a hope. You screwed up.
Well, and the Seahawks been held to 26 combined points over their last 3 games, and then they hang 30 on the Niners yesterday, and it should have been 42 because they fumbled the ball twice at the 1-yard line.
Yeah, see, I mean, to me, this was, you know, yeah, the 49ers didn't do anything in the second half. Yeah, no question. But they gave up a ton of points in the second half, and that's defense. You know, they didn't really give up a ton of points, but you know, they gave up a ton of points in the second and third quarters. And that's when the game was decided.
Field position wasn't a friend to the 49ers yesterday. Their own offense wasn't a friend to them. Their defense, when it looked like it was going to have some friendly moments. And look, we have, I think, thoroughly, you know, explained what went wrong yesterday to the point where no one other than the Niners can be blamed. That was a... You know what, Ray? I hate this football season. I really do. And one of the reasons why I hate this football season is because these games are being officiated at a Big Ten level of officiating. I mean, it is dreadful. It is ununiform. What is a penalty in one moment is not a penalty in the next moment. And the Niners did not lose because a pass interference wasn't called in the end zone, but it went a long way to making sure that they weren't going to win that game. I mean, it really, I mean, I understand everything matters. Every snap is the same, but that's also nonsense because fourth quarter decisions and snaps in tight games mean more. They just do. And that was a terribly uneven officiated game. There was a holding call on Lake and Tomlinson that was just all day and night long garbage. I thought that the Sherfield block in the back wasn't any more egregious than a block in the back that the officials absolutely ignored by the Seahawks on their last drive. I mean, it's just that the officiating in the NFL is awful. It's awful. It's really awful. And I thought that Brandon Ayuk might have caught that ball. Who knows? Because every single week we're redefining what is and isn't a catch. Just ugly.
Well,
just ugly. This season sucks, man. It does. Well,
it's a great season because nothing means anything and it's all a pie fight every game. That's why gambling is good.
Welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station. Brought to you by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
Look, that
I
was
mean,
a
Peter King dropping the F-bomb was just a metaphor. It walked you up to here's what you're getting this year. And that's great because I want this to be chaos. I mean, there were actually too many elite teams for my taste. In fact, I hope Patriots-Bills is played in 3 feet of snow because that's the season I want. And that's the season that by and large we've gotten.
It's not snowing.
Well, it's not snowing now, but I'm waiting. But it's been snowing all day. And it was snowing during warm-up, and I think they can come up big.
I don't know. There's hardly any snow accumulation on the field at all. Snow's not going to be an issue, but wind could be a massive issue in this game. You're going to see an awful lot of running it, just short underneath passes, which is all Kyle Shanahan wants to really do with his offense and is all that Mac Jones is executing. Like, Mac Jones right now would be better for Kyle Shanahan than Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance or any quarterback that he's had. I mean, we're not going to say that they got the draft pick wrong because we don't know anything about Trey Lance yet other than he is the least valuable first-round pick this team could have had for this season because he doesn't even play. And then their second-round pick doesn't play and their third-round pick doesn't play and we did see a little of Diamador Lenore, and he stunk yesterday. And, you know, if not for Elijah Mitchell, if not for George Kittle, if not for Deebo Samuel, again, my mom could have drafted Nick Bosa. You get zero credit for drafting Nick Bosa and hitting on that, but he isn't.
Well, why didn't she then?
Stud.
If she's so damn smart, why didn't she?
She didn't give her the pick. She would have.
She should have insisted. I mean, what's she doing in Florida? Just sitting on her can? I mean, what's the deal here?
Look, she would have done it. I'm telling you, she would have done it. What are you complaining about?
Get her to work. I mean, you know, this retirement thing is not working. She's got to start showing some results. You might have to think about reducing her role.
If you want to get in on this 49er game today, speak now or forever hold your peace, because coming up in about 20 minutes, Ray and I are flipping it into Warriors live mode. By the way, text the word Warriors to 20357, and everything that we talk about when it comes to the Warriors is just there waiting for you. You don't have to sift through the Niner misery or anything else that's going on. By the way, Georgia officially had a now or never game against Alabama, and apparently it's never. Alabama's going to win another national title. Like, the Bearcats are... They got Cincinnati in the first round. That's a bye for Alabama. I don't care how good of a year Cincinnati had. And then the Wolverines, they get the Bulldogs in the Orange Bowl. And Jim Harbaugh, you know, maybe they would have the best shot. It would be incredible if Jim Harbaugh actually won a national championship by beating Alabama. I'm not betting on it. I don't think anyone is.
I don't think they beat Georgia, to be honest with you.
They probably don't.
Yeah. I mean, because after all, the purpose of college football is to have Alabama play the same team three times in a year. That's how it's set up. And there's a limit to how much I can watch that. I mean, Alabama is fun to watch. They have skill guys going on skill guys. And Nick Saban has become sort of a less of an annoying curmudgeon and more of a guy who realizes as he's heading toward retirement that this is a lot of fun for him. I mean, he looks more relaxed than I think he's ever been. And I don't know if it's because he knew he could beat Georgia, but he's created a level of football that frankly has made a lot of the rest of the country irrelevant.
Like just they're omnipotent.
Yeah.
They can't be stopped. And if you slow them down for a week, next week's a bounce back week every time.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. The Niners have allowed 278 points this year. That's the most in the NFC West. Yesterday, they had a chance to step on a division rival's throat, and they couldn't do it. That is the worst, most beatable Seattle team. That is a Seattle team that's got a bottom five roster with in terms of talent right now, and they still had their way with the Niners in that second half. And it's just that cannot happen. The Seahawks have four wins this year, two of them against the Niners. Russell Wilson just beats the Niners every single time he looks at them. That's an easy day at the office for Russell Wilson. Everyone's like, oh, but this is such an, you know, this is a typical 49ers Seattle game. Yeah, typical in the way that the Seattle Seahawks won it. And don't tell me that the Niners are going to do anything if they actually reach the playoffs, because beating the Seahawks is always an indicator that, yeah, if they do get to the playoffs, they will make a little noise. They can't beat the Seahawks. They can't. What, Russell Wilson is now, 16-4? What is it? Yeah, I think, yeah. He's 16-4 against the 49ers, and Jimmy is 1-5 against Seattle.
Well,
it's not good.
No, but, you know, Seattle's in the rearview mirror now. And
it's on to Cincinnati for real.
Well, it's on to Cincinnati for real. And Peter King made a very interesting and non-profane point there about these are the two seventh-seeded teams in each conference. And I don't know that I trust Cincinnati enough to say, well, they ought to handle the 49ers, because I think even though they look more efficient, they lose some big games to some goofy teams.
They do. They do, but they will have the best quarterback on the field. They'll have the best running back on the field. They'll have the best wide receiver on the field.
Well,
it's a nice way to take the field.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they've had that a lot this year, and they're still 7-5. I mean, when Peter King said this is one of the weirdest seasons ever, he's right. I mean, Cincinnati has the kind of talent that would make you think 9-3, but they're not. And it's not that they're unlucky. When they lose, they get blown out. I mean, the Chargers of all teams, you know, I mean, they're a team that can find a loss 3 days after a win. You know, they can have games reversed on them by the league. And the fact is the Chargers kicked their ass. I mean, that game was never in doubt, you know, and that was with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon. It's just Cincinnati is one of the many non-trustworthy teams in this league, which is why Sunday will be fascinating.
By the way, if I'm looking at a live shot, it is snowing now in Buffalo, so we will see what this thing looks like before it's all said and done.
We want a blizzard that makes it so unfriendly there that even Buffalo fans will not throw each other through tables.
Somebody says, you know, Kyle Shanahan's no good, deserves to be fired.
Yeah, that's going to happen, sure.
I'm not there yet, but he deserves to be demoted. He deserves to be demoted from any roster decisions or control at all. There is no doubt. This man has been caught so blind at cornerback. He has one wide receiver after drafting several who do not work out. His running backs are forever and a day hurt, always. And unfortunately, we got here's your update right here. You got Mosley with a high ankle sprain. He's going to miss several weeks. Mitchell is in the concussion protocol, even though He went back out in that game. The fact that he's in concussion protocol again today means they're terrible at evaluating injuries in real time. I mean, they are. They constantly misjudge who's really hurt, how bad they're hurt, how long it's going to take to come back, all the time. Jeff Wilson has got a knee flare up, so Jamichael Hasty could be your running back, and they say it's too early to tell whether or not Deebo Samuel is going to be ready to go. Here is Kyle Shanahan recapping an incredibly frustrating afternoon. And Ray, I'll tell you, you want to go ahead and look on my Twitter timeline for today's show announcement. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, Kyle Shanahan is just over it. I mean, he's never looked more dejected standing at a podium. Here's Kyle Shanahan recapping a frustrating afternoon in Seattle.
You know, we felt we had a lot of self-inflicted stuff that, as always, you know, is caused by other teams, so I'm not taking anything away from them, but I thought we had opportunity at the beginning of the game to kind of just really felt like we were ready to go, you know, giving them that punt return, gave them a lot of life. I thought it was scoring, you know, we were trying to get the clock lower. Kittle made a hell of a play, though, on that keeper, scoring a touchdown. Then they got that big return and ended up scoring before the end of the half, which gave them the life back. And then for us to open up the series and fumble it in the third quarter, and defense did a hell of a job stopping them. They missed a field goal, but we followed it with a safety. Then I think we followed it with a pick. So I felt like it went about an hour, it seemed like, where we barely had the ball, which was our fault. So it was just frustrating. I was glad with the guys no matter how many bad things did happen. They kept fighting, never quit. It was a hell of a job by the defense getting that turnover on the 1-yard line like they did. And I really believe we were going to go down and score. The guys made a lot of big plays on that last drive and came up short on that fourth down. And I think it was Dunlap did a good job getting his hands up. I think he was going to have Trent there in the end zone, but made a hell of a play and shouldn't have let it get to that point.
I mean, he just gave you three examples of the special teams letting this team down on that afternoon. Remember, just the week before, you had Minnesota take one all the way back to the house. His special teams is terrible. It's just terrible. They're terrible. And Richard Hightower shouldn't be in the building today. He should be fired. I mean, there's just no other way. So Jimmy Garoppolo Kyle Shanahan has a staggering amount of accountability that he puts on his players, but apparently his coaches can have lousy afternoon after lousy afternoon and nothing happens. I mean, the man just does not care about special teams. He has not made it a priority. They miss extra points constantly. They do not cover well on kickoff. They do not get anything usually other than fumbles on their own kick returns. Several different players have fumbled the ball on kick returns, Ayuk included this year. They tackle poorly. They gave up way too much yardage. They gain almost nothing. When will a demand to be better there be put on a terrible special teams coach? Like, Richard Hightower has been this team's special teams coach for 4 years, and I got 4 years and nothing happened on special teams. And I don't want to hear about Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould is not, first of all, he's getting old in real time. He is not a reliable kicker anymore. And you got nothing to do with a punter either. Like, the kicking on the special teams is not what a special teams coach does. It's not. It's making sure you're not going to give up a 78-yard snap to an up back. You got to be looking for it, especially when you're playing a team that is desperate as humanly possible, and that's what the Seahawks were. The Seahawks met their level of desperation with the way that they played all day, and it looked like they were about to quit, and then they didn't, because the Niners kept on inviting them back into a game.
The fake punt, to me, is more, and I'm not trying to deflect any notion that somehow the special teams have been good, because they haven't been, but that was more about poor reaction, I thought, because it's such a goofy call that I could see where maybe they're fooled initially, but the fact that Travis Homer was not even approached, let alone touched, that to me is far worse, because once you figure out that the punt has not been kicked, you know, something else has happened. And the guy running with the football should be a pretty good indication that he's the guy you should get close to. And that's the thing that was the takeaway for me. It's that, okay, you got surprised. It doesn't mean you have to stay surprised.
888-957-9570. This is Gary in Oakland. Gary, thank you very much for the phone call. You're on with Damon and Ratto this afternoon. It's a miserable Monday.
Hey. It's a great Monday.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I just wanted to touch base on Jimmy G and the fact that our team's really not going to be good until we trade Jimmy G for another cornerback. I saw Josh Norman in Jacksonville in the food court in the mall when I went to go to the Jacksonville game to try to catch us win, and I wanted to tell him, don't even suit up, bro. Don't even suit up. Like, we don't need you.
Well, they do now. I mean, Ambry Thomas and Diamide Lenore are, you know, they're going to get snaps just by virtue of you know, attrition in their depth chart. They were so unprepared for Jason Verrett getting hurt. How are you unprepared for that when Jason Verrett's entire career has been defined of is been defined by I can't play anymore?
You know, I mean, we're saying the same thing we've said all year, is that the failure here is roster construction. That's why they're in the situation they're in today.
So what do we do about that? What do we do? Not that you and I are going to do anything about it, but what do the Niners do about that? Are they just going to let Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch continue to roll on without a first pick for the next 2 years?
My guess is that that's where a lot of the restructuring is going to be. I mean, that they're going to figure out, okay, why are we missing on so many high draft picks? Because they've done pretty well once you get to round five, but that's not sustainable. I think there's going to be, you know, significant change on the player personnel side. I think there will be some assistant coaching changes. You don't get to be where they are now, where they're proud members of the group of suck, without change happening. You know, and I don't know who tells Kyle Shanahan that's going to happen, if it's not Jed, but Jed doesn't know anything about football. So at some point, you know, Kyle Shanahan has to sort of self-direct here and self-examine, because this is a team that, even if they're not, you know, 10-2, they ought to be 8-4, and they're not. They're 6-6, and it's not that they're predictable, it's that they can't control a game reliably enough to be able to be that team that has it for 37 minutes every week.
You can never be known as a great guitar player if you can only pluck one note, or you can only strum one chord. The Niners have one way to go about winning, and when that path is not open to them, they have a nearly impossible time finding that win. They need to get out to a huge lead, they need to dominate with a running game, and make sure Jimmy doesn't put the ball in the air 20 times. Like, that's how they do it. And that's the only how they do it. That's it. That's all they got available to them. You know, but what about that one game in New Orleans 100 years ago? Yeah, that was a shootout. That was awesome. Haven't seen it since.
Yeah, it's plowing over old dirt, but that's who they are. And for the next 5 weeks, that's what you're looking at. Just, you know, strap in. This is the deal. This is the movie you get to watch. And even if you saw it on the flight out, you're still watching it on the flight back.
This is a team that is 6-6 that I think is a lot closer to, you know, 4-8 than it is the other way around. 888-957-9570. Let's try to wrap up here with some good calls. AJ in Fremont, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, AJ?
Well, I mean, it's been a very brutal morning and, you know, bad week for Bay Area. I mean, Warriors lost on Saturday, and then this was such a pathetic loss yesterday. You know, it felt like, you know, somebody's preparing for his mass final, and he says, oh, you know what? I got everything sorted out. I know exactly how to solve all the issues and problems, And when he goes to exam room, he says, oh, by the way, today's my English final, not mathematics. And I don't know what to do right now. I mean, it's been every week. Sometimes defense is not showing up. Some offense is not showing up. Historically, we had, you know, films to watch on Seahawks. I mean, so many times. And Jimmy Garoppolo just sucks big time. And this guy has to go. If you have a quarterback that you picked up, a draft pick, that's what you wanted, and you know Jimmy Garoppolo is not the future of the Niners, why would you not play that guy? Why would you not give him like at least 10 snaps, 5 snaps, at least try him on 4-down conversion?
Well, and again, and that's the way the year started. I mean, that's the way that the year started. And then Shanahan completely went away from it after the guy played and got a start and did pretty well and had to battle a bad game plan in that game against Arizona too. I mean, the 49ers were closer to beating the Cardinals on the road with Trey Lance than they were at home against Colt McCoy. The Niners have played one complete game this year. Well, really two. They played two complete games this year. Against the Rams, full credit. The Rams are good. And against the Jaguars, you get no credit. If you don't look good against the Jaguars, shame on you. It's just... It's a year of, you know, yeah, there's a 3-game winning streak, but then there's a 4-game losing streak. I think they lose in Cincinnati. Coming home against the Falcons, nothing guaranteed. Nothing guaranteed. Niners don't win at home often. Fact. You know, somebody from the 707 says, injuries have dictated where they are now. What more can you expect? I expect you to overcome injuries. The Baltimore Ravens, overcome injuries. Good football teams, overcome injuries.
That's roster construction, as we've said before. They're not deep enough. That's the problem. They're not deep enough.
Why is D Ford still on this team? What does he do other than cash paychecks? Why is he still around? For the hope that he will show up riding a white horse? I mean, I don't understand. Eric Armstead got his third sack of the year. He plays the run really well, blah, 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 blah. It's a guy's overpaid and just he's okay. He's Eric Armstead. Don't expect him to be much more than Eric Armstead.
Well, hence his name. That's who Eric Armstead is, Eric Armstead.
He is.
And there's not a lot of satisfaction in assuming that guys who are one thing can suddenly become twice that thing. You are who you are eventually.
Yeah,
the whole idea behind roster
construction. When you bet on that guy, when you have a DeForest Buckner and you say goodbye DeForest Buckner in the name of retaining D Ford and Eric Armstead.
Well, that's a profound mistake. And I mean, even Shanahan has acknowledged that. In one of the show and tells. I mean, the thing is, the roster construction here has been profoundly uneven, and they're not a deep team.
Look, we got to get out in like a minute. Nick in Berkeley, I got 15 seconds for you. Slam dunk it, Nick. Go.
Hey, thanks for your comments about the referees, man, right on point. And I just want to say, man, that the Niners draft picks and everyone's in a conundrum about why they do that is because they put up a big whiteboard and they got a cap money salary for each position and they're not going over that. That explains everything in the draft for everybody, in case you didn't know. It's a business model. And that's what they do. They just put a number on each position. They're not going to pay more than that. DeForest Buckner, Delanie Walker, the rest of my case.
Yeah, look, somebody says here, you know, it costs more to cut D Ford than keep him. No, it doesn't, because you open up a roster spot for somebody who can play for you.
Except that you can't find guys like that. That's why the free agency market...
They just found Arden Key.
In the middle of a season, there's nothing out there. And I'm not defending D Ford at all, but we found out time and again, when you start picking guys up off the street... The chances of any of them being of any value is minimal. I mean, how many cornerbacks have they taken, and how many have they gotten rid of? It's because once everything's been picked over, there's, you know, you're hoping that God will kiss you on the forehead by getting you somebody, you know, who's working at Costco midnight to eight, who can all of a sudden become an impact player. I mean, it's,
what are you saying? They're working the overnight at Costco? They're restocking? Yeah, that's not going to help you. You want someone working the register during business hours if you really want to make an impact in
this
league.
Well, they make too much money for the 49ers to him. They have cap trouble.
Marco in San Francisco. Final call of the day, Marco. Make it a good one.
I don't know what else to say other than I'm just pissed and sick and tired of hearing the same crap in and out from Shanahan. Look, he's responsible for player personnel. We've got, you know, Josh Norman in a corner who's taunting a camera on an overthrow and then gets constantly burnt all day, right? You've got Ford who hasn't played in a while. It's just, it's appalling, and it's 5 years of this. You know, we can go back and say, oh, they didn't have a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But it's the play calling, and Shanahan has long been a guy that fumbled the big play call, right? I would have rather seen Kittle in there running the ball four times at that goal line stand, at the goal line shot we had at the end, than what we called. And then you've got him and Mitchell, granted he might have had a concussion, sitting on the sideline for the final play. I just don't get it.
Yeah, that was crazy. Look, we got a run. We're about to get into Warriors Live, and there's plenty to talk about there. Our friend Nick Friedell's going to join us at 6 o'clock. But man, I mean, it's been a frustrating afternoon, and that's the thing about Kyle Shanahan that is so frustrating. This is his entire vision. He's been setting this up to be this for years, and this is what you got, and it's not nearly good enough. Until he is a winner, he is a loser. Kyle Shanahan is a losing head coach. End of story. Only he can fix it. So we're brought to you by AC Transit. Stick around. Warriors Live is right around the corner. Find a career with great benefits, work-life balance, and do what you love. AC Transit is hiring journey-level mechanics and service employees. Join their East Bay team to maintain AC Transit fees, fleet of buses. Apply today at actransit.org/careers. Warriors Live is next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.